and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for September 3rd, 2014. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort, and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals, and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on The Dad Show, we're going to be talking with Matt Weir about his anniversary surprise adults-only trip to Walt Disney World. Welcome back to the show, Matt.
Hey, thanks.
So tell us a little bit about how the idea of an anniversary surprise trip came together.
Well, my original thought was how when I originally proposed to my wife, I didn't do anything all that spectacular. In fact, I kind of came up with the idea of driving home one night and just sprung it on her without even having a ring or anything. So I've always regretted kind of not going overboard and doing something a little bit more elaborate. And now that I know a lot of the tips and tricks about how to get around Disney and all the amazing things you can do as adults without kids in tow, it occurred to me that it would be a super fun time to plan a kind of all-out vacation for just my wife and I and see kind of how that would work as just keeping it as a surprise. And then I wouldn't feel like I'd miss the opportunity to do something kind of crazy one time.
Okay, okay. So this was kind of replacing the big proposal moment.
I guess so, yeah, about 13 years later, but better late than never, so.
Okay, well, as I was going to ask, so this is the 13th anniversary or 12th anniversary?
13th anniversary, so, you know, that was another reason I chose to do it now, is it just didn't seem like anyone would see it coming, at least my wife in particular, so.
Right, would make it easier to maintain a surprise.
Yeah, I thought so, at least, because starting into it, you know, very quickly it became clear that there was a lot of time between when I came up with the idea and when it was actually going to happen. I had started thinking about it about 2 months after our last trip in February, so it was about April already that I started planning and budgeting and thinking whether it might actually be possible.
Right. And so give us the broad outlines of the original, you know, plan for the trip. When were you planning on going down? How many days? And maybe where you were planning on staying?
Sure. Well, my first plan had to be how to unload the kids. And luckily, every year we've been doing a kind of about a week or so where I send them off to my parents in Wisconsin to stay with them for a while. And my wife and I have done what we've called a staycation, where we just stay here in Minneapolis and kind of experience the city in a different way by taking some vacation off and just, you know, bumming around town doing things we normally wouldn't do when the kids are here. So I had that as kind of my natural excuse. I'd lined up some childcare through my parents and started planting the seed that we would do this staycation again with my wife. So she was all excited about that. And really, we'd all been kind of talking about it for a while. And the surprise just kept building then throughout the summer as she would come up with more ideas of what we'd do on a staycation. I'd be like, yeah, sure, staycation.
Okay, okay. Well, it's nice that you had, you know, Camp Grandma built in there already.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crucial first step is just, you know, going as adults, I often, you know, as we all do, you know, you somewhat feel not necessarily trapped, but, you know, like you've got confines around you due to your kids and all your obligations and everything. So finding a way to get that out of the equation, you know, really started to open up a lot of other possibilities.
Okay. And how long a trip were you planning on taking?
Well, that was the first bit of math that I had to do, and I kind of built out some spreadsheets and was figuring out what the different options would be if we stayed at a deluxe versus a moderate. And, really, I landed on going with a moderate because I could really stretch out the number of days we'd be in park, so we'd have 3 full days in park, a first day when we arrived where we would just kind of bum around downtown Disney, a final day of nothing to do and just staying at the resort, and then a final, the day that we would leave then after that. So I guess that makes 4 nights. No, 5 nights? Yeah, 5 nights.
Okay, okay. And which moderate did you end up choosing?
That ended up being Port Orleans Riverside. I'd never been to any of the moderates before, and different podcasts where they had kind of compared the different ones for me and kind of made their recommendations on that. On the last trip, though, my aunt ended up just going ahead and making reservations for the Contemporary. So all of that research had kind of been out the window, and I kind of circled back on it as being sounded like a great idea. A lot of different amenities that we would appreciate, and as well as just being a really good value for being in that moderate range.
Sure, sure. It makes a lot of sense. So you're set on Port Orleans. You've got 3 park days. So what do you plan on doing with 3 adult-only park days?
Sure. And like I said, the first day actually began before we even got to the parks in terms of Downtown Disney.
We'll talk about this. I'm talking about stepping
just
back
the parks.
And trying to do the planning piece before. I want to try and set the stage because this is a little different kind of trip than you do.
Yeah.
And you were in a kind of an unusual situation because you'd never done a couples trip before, but you're planning it on your own to surprise your wife. So I'm curious to kind of hear how you... Yeah. put that planning piece together, given that it was a surprise for her, so you couldn't really tell her you were going, but you wanted to choose things and arrange things that she would enjoy because it was a gift for her.
Exactly. And so really the main theme that I kind of went into this all with is what would we do if we didn't have the kids along? Because, we definitely shape a lot of our itineraries around what they want to do, and not that that's not enjoyable, but there's a lot of things that we would just never dream of trying if they were around, just because we know how picky they are, or how they, things like that. So, as far as the parks themselves, looking at the crowd calendar and touring plans, I kind of came up with just a day in Magic Kingdom, a day in Epcot, and a day in Hollywood Studios. We like Animal Kingdom, but it's really one of my kids' more favorite parks. And I thought if we had to pick just one, since I didn't really want to spring for the park hopper, we'd try Hollywood Studios because we always have regretted that the last time we went down for Fantasmic, we had great seats and then it got rained out. So we still.
All right, I remember that from our last podcast together.
Yeah. So it's been something we've talked about. And, when I went into all this, I felt like it was a little risky just because I knew we'd had a great time both of our last couple trips and we both love it down there. But I wasn't really sure how on board she'd be with me doing this big of a surprise. And yet over the course of the summer, it was almost weekly, if not, daily in some cases, that she'd be like, oh, we should go back to Disney. So hearing those kind of calm me that I wasn't making the wrong decision, but I was still then focused on, well, what am I going to do that I know we'll like and that we never got to try before, or, in particular involving dining opportunities as well that we would never have dreamed of with kids around.
So what ADRs did you make, heading in?
Yeah, well, I changed them a couple times, but the first day in Downtown Disney, I'd originally set it for Raglan Road. Read a lot of great reviews about that. And yet I kind of wanted something a little bit more quiet and romantic, and it sounded a little bit more kind of raucous and exciting there. So I ended up switching over to Fulton's Crab House. Never been there either. I saw some crab ceviche on the menu that sounded really good because we love ceviche, and just a lot of other – my wife loves fish as well. So it seemed like a good thing to try. Some mostly positive reviews and – that kind of thing. The next day would have been our Epcot day, and that's one where I wanted to spend a lot of time in World Showcase, since that's something we always skimp with the kids around. And based on comparing a lot of those, I ended up landing on Tokyo Dining as being something that would be great to do some sushi, just leading into Illuminations and having that whole thing available for that evening. And then on the next day, which would have been Saturday, that was our day in Hollywood Studios. And we'd never been to Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I wanted to check that out. I'd heard a lot of great things about Sanaa, really highly rated, and we love Indian food and African food. So it just sounded perfect for the type of dining that we never do with the kids, but would love to try. We set that for there and got a chance to kind of resort hop out to that one to check that out.
Nice combination.
Yeah.
So take us now to, the big surprise piece. How did you coordinate the reveal and how'd it go?
It went really well. I've got the whole thing on YouTube. I'll see if she'll give me permission to share some audio from it with you, because it's pretty hilarious, her reaction. She just was completely knocked off her feet as far as, literally she was on the floor by the end of it, just, reeling with the surprise and so excited. It was hilarious. So it's not one of those underwhelming, kind of reactions like you see in some of the YouTube ones. The parents are so excited, and, the kids just don't even react.
Right.
It was completely the opposite. She was just, I think she said, oh, my God, I can't believe it, easily about 40, 50 times that evening. She was just completely in shock, which was awesome. And the, one of the best things was almost everyone else knew, like, around us. Like, her people at her work knew, because she actually was supposed to work one of those days, and I had kind of went behind her back to get her boss to change her schedule, and so everybody at her work knew. My parents both knew, because the kids were headed their way, and they kind of understood why, and yet I had them kind of keep it a secret from the kids, and so that I could tell them when we got back, so I didn't want it to ruin their vacation with Grandma and Grandpa.
Right.
They should enjoy being spoiled and not be jealous that they missed out on something. So,
see, that's the part I always worry about when we do a surprise, is not that we're going to slip, but that, you know, somebody that we told or that we had to tell in order to, you know, handle our end of the planning would let something slip.
Right. I tried to be pretty quiet about it overall and make sure as many people, you know, who were involved knew exactly when she was going to find out, namely the day before we left. So, you know, really, I was going to, the original plan would be just to get everything planned, all the ADRs, all of the fast passes, all that kind of stuff, and then just bring it around the day before when she was finally dropped the kids off and was ready to focus on, okay, what are we going to do in this staycation? And I'm like, well, you know.
We're going to head to the airport.
Yeah, right. So I did want to do it that, at least, you know, 4 or 5 hours before the end of that day, so we'd have some time to do for her to do her packing. I was all packed already. And we even had time to run out to Target quick and grab a couple last minute things. But, yeah, so, but the actual, you know, build up, I got it all on video cause I kind of had told her I had this surprise and it was kind of a big deal and I wanted to just record it for posterity or whatever. Basically she had thought she kind of knew what it was all along and she thought it was just going to like a baseball game or something like that. So she was like waiting for, she's like, God, that's such a huge build up for like, you know, something that's, she's, I already know it's just gonna be a Twins game or something. So, yeah. So then I just kind of gave her the lead in about, you know, I regretted not doing the thing with the engagement and, you know, so Kiro, and then I said, close your eyes. And then I, you know, made to get something out of my pocket and it was just our magic bands, which had already arrived. I was like, will you go to Disney World with me? And she just looked at me like, what are you talking about, you crazy person? Like, that's just the magic band from last time. And I'm like, no, this is, we're going tomorrow. It was quite a reaction from there on out where she just couldn't believe all of the stuff that happened and all the people that already knew and how it was happening with, you know, no time to really build it up, but just all about getting down and going. So
very cool. Okay, so you take your flight down, you arrive in Orlando, you're arriving early in the day, late in the day, how did you schedule it?
Yeah, well, when I budgeted out, I had realized that we had some frequent flyer flights, so I was pretty much free reign with some direct flights at the times that I wanted, you know, and all that was covered, which is awesome. So we got down there about 2 or so in the afternoon, which gave us plenty of time to take the Magical Express over to the resort and get all checked in and settled and, you know, that kind of thing before we would have to go to the first ADR for dinner. And that night, my big kind of thing that I had planned was going to La Nuba, which we'd never been to for Cirque du Soleil. We've never been to any of the Cirques, and that one looked pretty cool. So,
all right. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, Cirque du Soleil. First of all, what category seating did you book?
I think it was like the third or fourth quality. So definitely not that the most expensive is like a select couple of rows in the front and center.
Second is
still center, but a little bit broader. And I think it might've been the third or fourth. But I still managed to score a front row seat because it wrapped around on the sides more.
Okay.
So it was a lower price point, but I ended up realizing, cause they let you see which seats are available right there on the website, which is cool. And so I snapped those up right away, just literally front and all the way to the left, which was a whole different view on the whole thing because it really felt like you're kind of part of the action as opposed to just seeing a show off in front of you, perfectly centered type of thing. So it was really good. And I think one of the most amazing parts about it was just making eye contact with the performers when they're that up and close and you know, in between their different acts and whatnot. They're kind of looking around and making contact with specific audience members and stuff like that is pretty special. And at one point, you know, trapeze artists going literally above our heads and all that kind of stuff is pretty cool.
Excellent. So, you know, thinking back about the show, what were things about the show that really stood out to you? And is it something you would recommend, especially for an adults only trip?
I would recommend it for adults or kids. Definitely. It was visually amazing. Feats of skill and balance and, you know, artistry and gymnastics and everything that were just like jaw-dropping. You know, there's a whole scene with some smaller Asian girls who had some little, almost like a yo-yo type of thing, but a bigger, I don't remember if they call it El Diablo or something like that. It's like this wooden top that spins on a string, and they were shooting them up all, you know, 20, 30 feet in the air and juggling them amongst five or six of them, and just amazing skill in all the performers. Just kind of a, I don't know, it was beyond anything I could imagine in a circus. I mean, it was well beyond gymnastics even. It was just pretty cool.
Very cool. Does sound great. Okay, so, and did you do the Cirque show? Did you have dinner at Fulton's also that night, or was that a separate?
Yeah, nope, that was the same night. I figured we'd take the riverboats down there and check it out. Turned out that we got a little bit of rain as per standard Florida weather, so we took a bus down there. But we had a 6 p.m. ADR at Fulton's, which gave us plenty of time to wrap up and walk a little bit along downtown Disney before the 9 o'clock Cirque show. They let you in about 20 minutes or half hour okay. before.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say there's some pre-show entertainment with some of their clowns that kind of meander through the audience and do some goofy stuff. So it's worth showing up at least a half hour early.
Good point. Good tip. So talk to us a little bit about dinner at Fulton's. What did you think of it? And, you know, it came up during the dining tournament a couple of times that, you know, we'd talked about
yeah.
it. And
yeah.
Curious what your feedback was.
Well, we're not huge into the shellfish for seafood. We like shrimp and fish in particular, but we're not super adventurous when it comes to some crab and lobster. Apparently, there's plenty of that to be had there as well, although we didn't focus on it. I did get a lump crab cakes. It was super delicious, and as I mentioned before, the crab ceviche is really good as kind of an appetizer. And my wife, I had, I want to say, probably like a tuna or some sort of a more steak-style fish that she really enjoyed. So it was pretty good. We're not huge seafood connoisseurs, so I'm sure there's better out there somewhere, but I was very happy with the meal. We had our anniversary buttons on from the start, and they took good care of us there as well. They brought out a special dessert at the end for free with happy anniversary written on the plate and chocolate and that kind of thing, which we hadn't even ordered, which was kind of cool.
That is nice.
Yeah, it's definitely worth telling your resort that you'll be having some sort of celebration if you have that, because we got a little special treatment here and there. It's due to those buttons. More on that later.
Okay. So dinner at Fulton's show sounds like a great start to your anniversary trip.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the time we were ready to be finished with Cirque, the rain had cleared up and we were able to take the riverboats back down to Sasagula, which was just a wonderful way to approach the resort and kind of come in and really sends you back in time as you're rolling into the, you know, dock at a 1800s or 1900s style kind of dock and everything.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a really nice way to wrap up sort of a romantic evening of, you know, a signature dinner and a great show and a nice, you know, boat ride up into your resort.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So what did you have on the docket for your first park day?
Sure. Well, this is the Fast Pass itinerary from heaven as far as where I ended up landing. I made the reservations just before, I don't know if you recall, over the summer, the Tier 1, Tier 2 changes that happened where Living with the Land became Tier 1 and Maelstrom became Tier 2.
Right.
I had made mine just before that, which meant that I actually had a reservation for Living with the Land. And I think it was like Figment or just something to waste the third one so that I could use all three up, and then Soarin' as my primary for Tier 1. And what happened then is since Living with the Land became Tier 1, I had two Tier 1 Fastpass slots. So I was able to change Living with the Land into a test track, which got me both of those.
Nice and bonus.
Yeah, and then saying thanks to Maelstrom docketing down to Tier 2, then I was able to grab that as my third one, which is just a perfect combo. Those are the only three that need them, in my opinion, in the whole park. Assuming you time everything else pretty well, and managed to get all three of them. So,
excellent.
Yeah, so the plan was to kind of blast through those in the morning, see if anything was worth grabbing one for the afternoon. You know, so kind of a future world morning, but pretty low key. Every morning I'd worked in a coffee break, since that's one of our favorite things, to have coffee, and my wife's a major coffee lover, so we got to hang out a little bit by the Starbucks and everything and make our way slowly over to World Showcase and start heading around on that side. And then, as I mentioned before, we spent a lot of our time in World Showcase since we really shortchanged that in a lot of other trips, hitting kind of Maelstrom and, you know, Mexico and not really a whole lot else.
All right. So what were some of your favorite things, you know, that you did in World Showcase since you were spending more time there?
Sure. Well, we really enjoyed the Chinese film. It was kind of cool. There's a cool little tea stand near the water there that if you're going to be drinking around the world at all, there's a drink called Tipsy Ducks in Love, which has some bourbon and chocolate and coffee that's pretty amazing.
Interesting combination.
Yeah. Yeah, very strange. And I wasn't sure what to expect. I heard about it from another podcast, and it ended up being very, very interesting and pretty tasty. And so we did some of that and, you know, just kind of meandered our way around over towards, the far side there. And I think got about as far as France for lunch. My wife and I had gone to France for our anniversary, or sorry, for our honeymoon. So it was kind of a nod to that, that I put that in the itinerary as having a French lunch and some of the stuff that my wife had seen. She used to be a French major in college and had studied abroad there and stuff like that. So it's one of her favorite countries. And yet we had never really even seen the film together with the family since the kids are just not into a lot of World Showcase right now.
Right, sure.
So, yeah, the French film was pretty cool, although by, you know, after being out in the heat for a while, going in the air conditioning and the quiet and the classical, it's pretty easy to just feel like you're ready for a nap. But from there, it was just a lot of ducking in and out of air conditioning. The temperature was up in the 90s, and luckily we had gotten these thing called chili pads, or by Frog Togs. I think there's probably other brands. It's kind of like a weird, almost like a chamois material that you soak with water and then use it around your neck to keep cool. I was kind of concerned about the heat since we're from up in the north and, high 90s and humidity sounded pretty rough. So those things actually work pretty well, though, if you've never tried them before. They keep yourself cool at all, and as long as they're a little bit damp. So
nice. Now, wait, before we get away from it, talk to us a little bit about lunch in France. Which of the restaurants did you eat at?
Yep, we just wanted to do some. Or I wanted to do some quick service. So we went to Boulangerie de Pâtisserie or whatever it's called.
Okay.
And
they've got a surprisingly broad though lunch menu there at Boulangerie.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I got a croque monsieur, which I'd had when I was in France. It's kind of a baked French toastish kind of ham sandwich with cheese, kind of grilled cheese type of thing. So that was really good. Some good kind of sharp French cheese on it. And my wife had a baguette with brie and apples and things like that on kind of a cranberry baguette that was really tasty for her. I managed to squeeze in still I think we had like a croissant with chocolate in it, something like that for dessert. So pretty good. And she even got to talk to one of the cast members who was from Toulouse, which is where she studied abroad for a year, and got to practice her French, which she hasn't had a chance to use for easily 10 years. So that was fun for her.
Yeah, nice bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So after France, you're continuing your way around World Showcase.
Actually, at that point, it was getting pretty close to the heat of the early to mid-afternoon, and so I had sent us back over to Ellen's Energy Adventure for kind of a break from the weather for a bit, and get 45 minutes in there.
Probably its best use.
Yeah, well, it's great, and I mean, I'd love that ride as a kid. Certainly, it's changed a lot since they rethemed it with Ellen and everything, but it's still, you know, corny but awesome, and it's kind of classic Epcot way, which unfortunately very few attractions are these days. And after that, I'd also picked up the fourth fast pass for Spaceship Earth, so we were able to take advantage of that and get into there by right around supper time by then. So
okay.
At that point, we kind of started having some margaritas in Mexico and some couple of grapefruit beers in Germany and that whole thing. So by the time we got to Tokyo. I was feeling pretty good. My wife was actually starting to feel a little sick, so we ended up just kind of cutting the sushi a little short and just kind of took it easy for the rest of the night. And
okay.
Headed back and just kept a little more chill at the resort, and that kind of thing. So, but it was fun.
All right. So you tried several different drinks in World Showcase. Not quite a full drinking around the world, but pretty close.
No, exactly.
So what were a couple of the favorites?
Well, I like the Schopenhofer grapefruit rather from Germany. We get that up here near us in Minneapolis. There's a couple liquor stores that have both that and the Stiegel Radler. So those are some of our favorite types of beers for summer when it's really hot.
Sure.
I like some of the lighter beers as well, but I'm really more of an IPA guy. So the sharpness and sour of the Radler is actually kind of refreshing in a hot day. I had the avocado margarita at La Cava, and I believe my wife had the jalapeno one, which we've liked both of those before. I didn't get a chance to try any of the other ones, but those are both pretty tasty.
Those are good choices.
so it was pretty good.
All right. Anything special for the evening, or were you just kind of winding down and relaxing back at the resort?
Yeah, just kind of winding down. I mean, by the time we'd left dinner, she was already starting to feel better and everything, but we just kind of took it easy and made sure that we were well-rested, because the next morning at Hollywood Studios, we had early morning magic hours in the morning, so.
Okay. All right, so you're hitting Hollywood Studios with an extra magic hour rope drop, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us about some of the highlights of Hollywood Studios.
Sure. Well, here, too, there's a lot of things that we didn't really do with the kids, just due to their attention span and things like that. And so we actually ended up rope dropping the Rock and Roller Coaster, because that's one of my wife's favorite rides there. And I managed to get her to take Twilight Zone Tower of Terror as well with a Fast Pass eventually. She was a little on the fence about that, and it's pretty hilarious. And both of the times, we ended up riding it twice that day, in fact. But both times, she was the one person out of the entire group photo that was just completely cringing and hiding in my arm. And everyone else is like smiling or just kind of looking around. And, so she's grown to at least kind of know how it goes and actually kind of likes it. But it's definitely pretty pretty unnerving for her. But right. We also got to do One Man's Dream, which I was very fascinated by. I really enjoyed the movie and the whole gallery experience. I tried taking my youngest in there last time, and we made it about two exhibits in, and he was done. Which is unfortunate, because I think there's a lot of cool stuff in there that kids should appreciate, as far as not only the history of the park, but just kind of cool miniatures.
Right.
Cool kind of information about animation and how they make it and whatnot. And I went to school for animation, so I'm always kind of fascinated by some of that stuff. So, and then we had a Fast Pass for Toy Story Midway Mania right over there. Went off and did Muppet Vision 3D and got some coffee again in the morning at Writer's Stop. Did the tour, which we hadn't done before. We're able to kind of get through the American Film Institute or whatever the museum is there with Indiana Jones's whip and all that kind of stuff. They've apparently just closed that, so I'm glad to have gotten in before they shut it all down.
Right, right.
And then by roughly lunchtime, I don't know, after researching all the different lunch options for a quick service in Hollywood Studios, I was not really all that excited about any of them, so I just took us back to our resort, and the food court there at Riverside is just incredible. Every morning we had made-to-order omelets, and for lunch they'll do made-to-order salads and pasta. Just you pick your ingredients, and they'll cook it there fresh in the show kitchen right in front of you, which is pretty impressive for a quick service, I feel.
Yeah.
So we kind of got to do that, and then got a lot of afternoon swimming time and hanging out. It wasn't too bad of weather. I mean, it was pretty standard Florida stuff. It did rain pretty much every day eventually, but often much later than I expected. I seem to remember it being earlier in the afternoon in the past, but it seemed like it was more around leading into supper time every day. So then we had to get over to Sanaa from our resort, and I looked into the options there, and I figured it wasn't really worth the time waste to go into a park just to take a bus over, so I got us a cab, which is kind of a lengthy cab going from Riverside to Kodani, but it was still about $20 or so, I guess, which isn't that bad considering the time savings. We can easily shave a good half hour or more off your trip, so... it got us over there. We had plenty of time to look at the animals and check that out a bit, got down to Sanaa for a reservation. They seated us right by the window, which was awesome. Just a perfect view of all the animals from there as well. And some of the different birds were just kind of hopping around right outside our window, a couple feet away and that kind of thing.
One of the nice things about Sanaa in the summer is that you can do a dinner reservation there, and it's still light enough that you can see the animals that are out there. Because a lot of times at Sanaa, if you make a dinner reservation, if you do that in the fall, by, 7 o'clock or so, it's already kind of hard to see out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'd looked up the sunset and tried to plan some of our ADRs to be done before that. So a lot of times we're eating around 6, which isn't too different from what we do at home. But
right. This
is a 6:30 ADR, which is just perfect as far as getting a lot of good sun. And it really didn't get to sunset until we were already leaving at the end of the night. So as we were waiting for the bus, it was just pretty nice sunset over the savannah there. So.
Well, so talk to us a little bit more about Sanaa. What did you have? What did you think of it?
Well, it was incredible. I think it was probably our favorite meal of the entire trip. Well, I don't know if y'all kind of tie it on different levels, but it was certainly easily one of my favorites at this point. I love Indian food, like I mentioned before. We did get the bread service at the beginning and didn't settle for three. We went for all 10 of the different sauces, which was just great. I love the coconut one, I think, was my favorite, and certainly the coriander chutneys and stuff were great as well. Just it's a good thing, especially if you haven't even tried Indian before. There's just so many different flavors to kind of take in. When we got into the actual entrees, we just did kind of some of the, you know, I had something where you pick a couple. I think my wife had the lamb kebab or something like that, kofta. I don't remember which one it was. But she really liked that, and I love mine. And I had taken your advice from an earlier episode about the shakalaka or whatever the wine is.
Yeah.
So that was definitely tasty. I've never really had South African wines for the most part. It's pretty good.
Oh, I'm glad they had it available for you and that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's very good. We ended up splitting a craft of that. And then really wanted to just kind of take it easy and get back to Hollywood Studios in time for Fantasmic. But I had known that the 9 o'clock one is apparently something of a zoo. So I just planned in advance that we'd probably take it easy and get there more for the 10:30 one when it's a little easier to get a seat.
Right, right.
Which worked out really well. It gave us time to hit Tower of Terror again on a fourth pass. You know, we got to just kind of take in a little bit of the Hollywood Studio vibe when it was dark, which is certainly fun. It's a lot of cool lighting and stuff like that. It really comes alive.
Okay.
But we kind of intentionally skipped Star Tours and Great Movie Ride and just some of the other ones that my kids were kind of into more, but we weren't. So.
Okay. And so you finally got a chance to see Fantasmic.
Yeah.
What did you think of the show?
I thought it was pretty good. I've heard some really mixed reviews. People either love it or hate it. I think the consensus is once you've seen it a couple of times, it's not a do it every trip kind of thing. And I can kind of see where that comes from. You certainly get more character visibility than you do in a lot of shows or any of the other fireworks, obviously. I don't know. I thought the effects were pretty cool. I like the lighting effects. I think that the mist screen, when they do projections on that, that kind of gets old somewhat, which is unfortunate because I do love the animation and some of the style and stuff like that. But it's just a little hard to see clearly some of the detail, even though we had a pretty decent seat. But some of the more live action kind of elements and the fire and the water and things like that were pretty genuinely awesome. So,
All right. So you've got one park day left.
Yep.
And I assume this is your Magic Kingdom day?
Yep, exactly. And originally, unfortunately, the hours changed, and apparently this happens. But, you know, this was originally going to be at not one of those nights when they were open until 1 a.m., which I thought would have been a perfect way to finish, you know, stay up super late, have a non-park day to follow so we could sleep in. They ended up changing them so that it was just an 11 o'clock p.m. close, which turned out fine, but it was a little disappointing when that was all shuffling around since, you know, they make you do all these reservations so far in advance.
Right, right.
Things like that to mess with you. But I had gotten some other advice on, you know, just stick with your original plan and, you know, it'll be fine. So it wasn't really worth trying to do park hopping over to somewhere else or anything like that on the day when they were open until 1. So, so I guess we just kicked off the day. I had some great fast passes set up ahead of time with Seven Dwarf Mine Train at 9 a.m. right away. I had a Splash Mountain and a Big Thunder Mountain. The last two times we've gone have been in the winter to kind of hit the off peak in February, March, and that's just prime time for Splash Mountain to be closed, apparently. So the last two times we've gone, it's been down and for refurb.
Right, right.
So we kind of wanted to take advantage of that and hit that while it was there, and I definitely wanted us to check out the Seven Dwarf Mine Train as well, since that's new for us. And so it was a lot of fun. We just kind of went straight to the back of the park, did some rope drop Peter Pan. I thought we'd have time to kind of hit a rope drop Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and then do a fast pass right after that. But by the time we beelined it there, we were there for the welcome show and just went straight back there, and it was already a 60-minute wait. So either they were trying to trick you with the posted wait times, or there's literally that many people who just flooded it the second they opened.
I suspect a little of both.
Yeah. So I don't know. We don't like to wait more than 20, 30 minutes for just about anything. I always figured there's plenty of other stuff to do. So we just shifted our plan around and decided to do it just once, and it turned out to be fine. The fast pass, you know, line bypasses a lot of the interactive queue elements, but we got to still enjoy the ride, and certainly wasn't more than about a 5-minute wait once we had hit our actual posted time. Peter Pan there quick as a rope drop without a fast pass, so that's a good time to knock that out. I got to take in the Winnie the Pooh ride, which sounds kind of dumb, but both of our kids thought it was a baby ride, and so they wanted nothing to do with it the last time we went.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Even though it's, you know, I think it's perfectly fun, but and my wife used to love Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, so it was interesting to her to see kind of how they reinterpreted some of that ride mechanism. So as far as going through the different rooms and things like that.
Okay. So what were some of the ride highlights? I mean, obviously Splash Mountain, because you'd missed it a couple of times. What other things really kind of stood out in terms of the experiences at Magic Kingdom?
Well, I think just taking it at a little different pace and focusing on, you know, just enjoying each other and enjoying, you know, photography and things like that, being able to stop and take some pictures. I took probably a good 1,800 photos over the course of the 5 days there. So, you know, enough to kind of start a whole photo blog. But we basically got some time to get some coffee in that park. It was over at Sleepy Hollow. I kind of planned to kind of hit that and then head our way over to Big Thunder for kind of a mid-morning ride. And the Big Thunder posted wait was a little longer, so we ended up just taking advantage of a shorter posted wait for Splash Mountain, and then shifted our fast pass to ride it a second time, so we got that in twice that day.
Nice.
And just really kind of hit all over. The one area we didn't hit as much was Tomorrowland, which we both love the vibe over there, but Astro Orbiter was down, and you know, we like Buzz, but neither one of us are super big fans of the Space Mountain. I love it as an architectural element in the park. It's just beautiful to look at and everything, but the actual ride itself, I've just always felt as kind of jerky, and just the whole Mad Mouse style roller coaster is not my favorite. I like the more swooping, you know, dives and stuff like that.
Sure, but, sure.
Yeah, so that was pretty awesome overall. I wanted to check out the Festival of Fantasy Parade, but the fact that it's only at 3 in the heat of the day is just kind of, I planned for us to get out of the parks by the time it got too hot, just take a good break and get some swimming in every day and stuff like that. So I ended up skipping that before
okay.
we started. And then that evening, I had some ADRs for 6:30 at Artist Point over at Wilderness Lodge. So
talk to us about Artist Point at Wilderness Lodge. It's another signature meal.
Yep. And we took the taxi over there again. That one was much more, probably a good $5 or $10 cheaper. So it must be closer or something like that. I'm still kind of working out the whole distance between all the different lodges, but, since we mostly haven't really stayed on property. Just the atmosphere is beautiful. I'd seen some pictures and everything, and we kind of love the whole Craftsman and Mission style, kind of architecture and stylings and things like that. The way they take care of you, though, I mean, it's just a class above everything. Here, I think the service really dominated. I mean, there's good food everywhere for the most part. We had a good server at Sanaa, and the food, I think, was in some ways better there. But in other ways, just the way the whole dining experience was really tailored to us. And our server, I can't remember her name, but she just took great care of us. She'd seen the anniversary buttons, so we had at least kind of two courses that were brought in as impromptu kind of freebies. We had some sort of a raspberry sorbet that was given to us after we had had our mushroom soup. And it's just kind of like a intermezzo, and that was really good. And we split an appetizer salad that was delicious. And I like how they split up. If you say that you want to split an appetizer, they'll play it twice, you know, so
right.
Each person gets their own and everything, which is great because it just kind of lets you take your time with a little bit at a time and all different bites and stuff. And I believe I had, I can't remember it anymore. My wife had the salmon, though. I think I had a different kind of fish or something. I can't remember.
Okay. Yeah. The salmon is sort of their signature dish there, that Cedar Plank salmon.
Yeah. I had the pork belly. That's what it was. The pork belly with kind of a almost like glaze to it. And then there was a second thing that I can't remember what that was. But they're both very, very delicious. And then she brought us out as well, a champagne toast with a raspberry in each of them. And that was kind of another sort of unexpected, you know, icing on the cake that she brought out. It was just kind of a surprise. And then she even brought us a free piece of the berry cobbler by the end as well, since she said that was kind of another signature thing.
Right.
Her desserts. That was great. I mean, we were stuffed by then, but it was just a wonderful end of the evening. I mean, it ended up being like a 4 or 5 course meal by the time we were done.
Yeah, it sounds like awesome. They took good care of you.
Absolutely. And we had split a good bottle of wine that was pretty tasty, something from Oregon, which I hadn't had South African wines before, and I hadn't had Oregon wines before, but they're both very good. So,
excellent.
That was great. And then from there, we were able to jump on the boat and take that around and kind of see the Contemporary from a whole different angle, and kind of come in into the Magic Kingdom at sunset and kind of ride in on the water, which was kind of fun.
So, and then you got to take advantage of those late hours at the Magic Kingdom, and you know, spend some more time enjoying After Dark Magic Kingdom.
Exactly, and I kind of intentionally saved up Adventureland, which is one of my favorite lands, for the end of the day. Just doing the whole Jungle Cruise at night is awesome, and doing the Dole Whips, obviously, and the Pirates and all that kind of stuff. It takes on such a life at night that, you know, the whole park transforms, obviously, but I feel like the warm kind of tiki vibe of the whole area is just awesome. And, even getting on the Enchanted Tiki Room with her couldn't have been more than about two other people in the whole room, which is just really a nice setting for a nighttime attraction. So.
Right.
Yep. And then as far as wishes, I had remembered seeing out of the corner of my eye that you had a really good shot of the castle from Frontierland on the bridge there over by Pecos Pills.
Right.
And I had noticed that the last trip and wondered what that would look like as a fireworks viewing spot because it didn't look too crowded that time of night, but I hadn't actually stopped there. So we gave that a shot, and it was really interesting to see just how totally disconnected and different everything is when you view it from a non straight at the castle kind of angle. It really is much more panoramic because you've got stuff going all the way off back in fantasy land, things over the castle more, and reflections off the water. It was a very different angle that changes the whole kind of experience. Yeah, mostly in a good way, I would say, but you know, certainly the symmetry and a lot of the timings and stuff that are made to be viewed from looking at the castle on Main Street are sort of lost from that angle. So,
Interesting. All right. So it was a good perspective, but maybe not quite what you'd hoped.
Yeah, it was very different. And I've heard that said about viewing from Fantasyland as well, because then some of the stuff is kind of above you and some is in front of you, and it doesn't line up the same kind of view as you would see from the standard photos of the castle. So, but it's kind of fun to mix it up a little bit and just get around. I mean, we've heard that there's shorter lines around wishes as well, but we just decided to kind of take it easy and see some of the fireworks for a while.
Sure. All right, and did you get a chance to watch the parade as well, or did you instead do other attractions?
We tend to have a love-hate relationship with the parades because they tend to be only there when we're trying to get somewhere.
Right.
So we had gone over to towards Tomorrowland just to get a couple of rides in off of Buzz and People Mover and things like that. By night, I love to see Tomorrowland all lit up at night. And so it was kind of as we were exiting the park, I didn't realize that there was a second showing of the electrical parade that was that late. And it was kind of as we were trying to leave, and it was just, you know, mob on Main Street, no way to get by everybody, and we still wanted to do a little shopping, but you couldn't even cross the street because of the parade. So, I don't know, it was kind of nice to just see it nearby, but I wish there would be, like, some sort of an overpass or something to get by it when you don't want to be in the way, so.
Right, right. All right. So you mentioned kind of in passing just a couple of minutes ago that you'd taken about 1,800 pictures. It was so many that it was enough that you actually started a photo blog. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the photo blog you started? Because you gave me the link to a pre-release view, and it looks really beautiful. You did a nice job. So
yeah, thanks. Well, I've had photography classes in college, and I would by no means call myself a professional, but more of a lifelong learner and just kind of love to dabble in it. I've got a digital SLR and stuff like that, but just really wanted to kind of take some time to dig into more of that on this trip. And by the time I realized how many I had, I just was like, well, why did I take all these? What am I going to do with them? Like, somebody's got to be able to look at them. Is that just me and my iPhoto or whatever? So I started a website called DizWire. Since my last name's Wire, so it's just kind of a play on that. But D-I-Z-W-I-R-E, just spelling it more phonetically, so it's easier to pronounce and stuff.
Right, considering I mispronounce it every time we do a podcast.
No, I try not to call people on it, but yeah, I think I've literally appeared on three different podcasts, and then I had a question read twice on another podcast, and every single time someone's pronounced it wrong, so it's kind of funny. but yeah, Wire. See it again, just like Meyer with a W. But yeah, so the plan behind DizWire.com is really just to get some galleries out there. I'd played around with posting pictures on, you know, Facebook in the past and on things like that, and I just wanted to have a little bit more controlled experience where you can just go and soak up some Disney when you got a few minutes if you just want to kind of check out a specific land or a specific attraction or something like that. Not really going in with the goal of having a comprehensive, exhaustive, you know, kind of catalog of everything, but at least on kind of a land level and hopefully eventually on more of a resort level, getting kind of some of the theming and really focusing in on some of the more detailed elements that kind of make Disney special from a, you know, artistry and a kind of construction and some of those types of things. So a lot of my photos don't really have people in them, and sometimes they're cropped so that they're, you know, intentionally kind of cutting out a lot of the, you know, the ground and things like that, so that we're focusing in more on some of the lamps and some of the, you know, architectural elements and things like that. Just really get some of the feel out there and have a way of navigating it by park or by land. And so at this point I've got, I think about 10 galleries posted already, mostly focused on Magic Kingdom and Epcot, and just starting on Animal Kingdom, but I've got so many more photos. It'll be probably at least another 20 galleries to go before I'm really through what I already have taken. And if or when I ever actually get that far through it, then the plan is just to kind of keep adding as I have more trips and getting more specifically into individual attractions or kind of whatever mood strikes me. So,
all right. Well, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. Well, anything else about this trip you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Just a couple of things, I guess. The one is that for the FastPass Plus on VR Guest, that actually worked out. So I had thought that it wasn't going to because I had gotten in, figured out what the reservation number was. I think we did some back and forth on Facebook at one point.
Right, right.
And finally got in there, but then it said there was none available. So on a whim, I checked like only a couple of weeks out from our trip, and surprisingly, there was availability all of a sudden. So I'd say anybody trying that and who does get an account set up and everything, just kind of keep checking it throughout the lead up to your trip, because what looks like is fully booked is not necessarily going to stay that way.
Yeah, and I will add that it does appear, what I'm hearing at least, is that what they're doing is opening space for the BR Guest Lunch Fast Pass Plus starting about 28 days prior to your trip. Mm-hmm. And I think when you were searching was sort of right during the transition phase.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of the reasons I think that the availability was so odd, because what they did was move from releasing those at about 60 days out to releasing them inside 30 days, basically, which was a big change.
Sure.
So definitely keep checking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that goes for any ADR. If you think that something's not available, it's always worth kind of checking back to see if you can switch it. So. But that was cool. And then the other thing, which we didn't really talk about too much as far as App Riverside, the carriage ride was really cool. We managed to do that on our last night there. So that was just kind of goes along the Sasagula all the way from Riverside to French Quarter and back. That was kind of a cool way to end the last day, where we had just kind of had a downtime day in the park, in the resort, and were able to end with that.
All right.
And then the other thing that we really liked a lot, I mentioned the food court at Riverside. Boat rides, I wasn't super crazy about. It was okay, but I felt like the service was just kind of so-so, and the food was kind of good. I had some Cajun jambalaya, but it was nothing super exciting compared to all the other ADRs we had. And then finally, the pool there is really great. I don't know if you've seen the Old Man Island or whatever, as far as being the activity pool or theme pool, but then they also have several of the quiet pools if you just want to have more of a chill time. So,
right, right. All right. Well, that's all great, and we'll definitely post the link to the new photo blog. I've been browsing around it a little bit as we've been talking here just for the last couple of minutes or so. Lots of great images there to check out. And thanks again for coming on the show and sharing your experience and your tips on an adults-only getaway for your anniversary. And I assume your wife liked her present.
Oh my gosh, yeah, she said it was the biggest and best surprise she's ever gotten in her life, which is, I wasn't going for that much praise, but I thought it turned out awesome, and I had an amazing time, and I'm just glad that she did too, because when we're both into it like that, it just makes it so much more fun. So,
perfect. Sounds like you'll take it.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you again the next trip. Looking forward to it.
Cool. All right, have a good night.
You too.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dreamfinder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.